5.
This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
I will not deny Christ, said a pastor and his wife imprisoned on false charges of forced conversion there in India. It seems that India is coming into the fore in terms of massive Christian persecution. Again, in Kenya, a family burned alive in a Muslim mob attack for following Christ because they supposedly blasphemed the name of Allah. U.S. senators are calling out the Bureau of Prisons in the United States for religious discrimination. A study showed that 40% of U.S. Jewish medical professionals experience anti-Semitism in the workplace. India criminalizes prayer, and the government targets Christians. Another, girls may be snatched from public spaces at any time. It's the Muslim persecution of Christians. Something demonic in that, said the headline, the real-life evil driving slaughter, horror of global persecution. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction. And indeed, Donald Trump. President Donald Trump has assigned a task force to root out anti-Christian bias in government. It's not just in India. It's not just in Africa. It's here. It's here in America. Then why is it that a rabbi would be the only one, a Jewish rabbi, would be the only one to sound out the warning for the unbelievable killing of Christians in the Congo? Why would a Pakistani girl be kidnapped twice at gunpoint, even after escaping her captor the first time? It has to do with forced conversion. Why would 50 Christians be attacked at a Sunday church service? Why would they be attacked at a Sunday church service in India? Why would a Christian couple be sentenced to 5 years in prison over alleged attempted conversions? Why were more than 60 persecuted Christians arrested in Bangkok, Thailand, after escaping persecution in Vietnam? All of that here today on Viewpoint, and again, I'm glad that you've joined us. You say, well, why should we be glad about this kind of a message? This isn't the kind of message that's very uplifting. No, those people out there don't feel it's very uplifting either. In fact, the Bible tells us that we should be concerned about those that are appointed to die. That's what the Bible says, that we should be concerned and pray and do everything that we can to save those that are appointed to die. Well, it's primarily talking about those who are appointed to die because of the relationship to the God who made and preserved us a nation and his son, Jesus Christ. So again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms, and we're going to focus on that here today on Viewpoint. So if you think that it's not coming here, apparently you're mistaken. If it weren't coming here, then why is it that Donald Trump, as President of the United States, would appoint a special task force to root out bias against Christians in the land of the free that's increasingly becoming only the home of the brave? Why would he do that? It's obvious there's a real problem. There's a real problem because the world is not a friend to grace. It's not a friend to true followers of Jesus Christ. Those who are seeking to follow Jesus Christ around the world are sincere folk. They understand the need to realize they are having to take up their cross and follow Jesus. Because, as Jesus said, if you're not willing to take up your cross daily and follow me, you're not eligible to be my disciple. You're just not eligible to be my disciple. So what kind of disciples do we have in this country? We just don't even have a clue what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. Not really anymore, but people around the world do. And maybe, just maybe, this is an opportunity for us, you, me, all of us here in the Western world, and particularly in the United States of America, to reassess our own lives, to reassess whether we really are committed to Jesus and to what extent our commitment to Christ is established. Because, quite frankly, there are difficult times coming. And if you think we've had difficult times to date, you ain't seen nothing yet. That's the problem. Because, you know, the fog comes in on little cat feet and sweeps in, and you don't really notice it until all of a sudden you're surrounded by it, and that's how persecution comes. That's how the anti-Semitism has come, and that's how the persecution is coming on its wings, the wings of anti-Semitism. So we're going to take a look at some of these things here today on Viewpoint, but before we go in more deeply, I want to make available to you my book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because really, this is all about our hearts. It really is. It's all about our hearts. And if our heart is not truly prepared, we will not be ready. If our hearts and our minds are not truly prepared, if we have not become like good soldiers of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul encouraged Timothy to be, we're not going to understand what it means to stand in the evil day. We're just not. And so this book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, is an encouraging book. It is a book to exhort us, to prepare us. It's an act of, you could say, it's an act of divine mercy in order to prepare us ahead of time for that which is coming rapidly. It talks about the promise of perilous times, the prescription for perilous times, the provision for perilous times, the patience that we need for perilous times, parenting in perilous times, pastoring in perilous times, the power of pressure and preparing for the blessed hope. Those are the heads of the eight parts or sections of the book with numerous chapters in between. So you can see how the book is designed to prepare every single one who professes the name of Christ and to be used as a tool for parents and grandparents and Sunday school teachers and pastors, parachurch leaders, and so on. This is the tool that you need. It covers the ground, and it's yours for $23. $23 on our website now. It's a $25 book. It's yours for $23 on our website. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries. P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Read it slowly. Digest it slowly. And you're going to find yourself not only informed, but transformed as you read. We'll be right back after this. This is Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking today about the subject of persecution that's exploding across our world. And, you know, it's every day, every single day, more information passes my desk. and I can't keep up with it. I really can't keep up with it. And so I try to collect some things every couple of weeks or so that I can share with you to bring you up to date and to help us to get prepared. An awful lot of people, you see, they'll say, yeah, that's happening over there. We don't realize that it's happening here and how it is happening. The whole woke culture, by the way, has prepared the environment, the attitudinal environment, the spiritual environment, and so on, both for anti-Semitism and for anti-Christian persecution. In my hands is an article by Julio Miotti, an Italian writer for Israel National News. He is a very sincere writer. Almost everything he writes is well worth reading. And this is an extensive article titled, Only a Brave Rabbi Denounced the Killings of Christians in Congo. So I want to share some excerpts from this with you because I think it will help us to more viscerally comprehend what's taking place. One of the most horrific attacks in history against Christians has been completely ignored by the mainstream media, he writes. Open Doors, the leading organization that supports persecuted Christians around the world, reported that the violence in Congo perpetrated by Islamic extremists began about 4 a.m. on Thursday, February 13th. They went door to door saying, out, out, don't make any noise. 20 Christian men and women came out and they tied them up for an unknown destination. After the 20 were taken, the terrorists surrounded the Christian village and kidnapped 50 more people. 70 prisoners, men, women, children, and elderly people were then taken to a Protestant church in a nearby village. What happened there? They were beheaded with machetes, all 70 of them. I'm looking at a picture right now of a jihadi terrorist, his head covered with a black shroud, carrying two vicious-looking swords. And that's how they cut off their heads. Only one major religious leader so far has raised his voice, and that is the chief rabbi of South Africa, Warren Goldstein. Beyond the sheer horror of this brutality, the desecration of a church, the monstrosity and cruelty, what is truly shocking is that no one in the world seems to care. Where's the outcry? Where are the headlines? Where are the media, the governments, the religious leaders? Where are the Christian leaders crying out for their flock? There's a religious war against the continent of Africa against Christians, and every year thousands of Christians are murdered, raped, kidnapped, and beheaded for their faith, burned inside their churches across the continent. The scale of the threat, says Miotti, is enormous. The United Nations doesn't care. The rabbi says, why am I the only one raising the plight of the Christians? Anyone who wants visual information on this never-ending slaughter in Africa should go to the website MEMRI, the Middle East Media Research Institute, MEMRI. The chilling images of fields where heads are sawed off, small churches of burned mud and straw, hog-tied and mutilated Christians. The rabbi says, why is the world silent as Christians are being massacred in the Middle East and Africa? A New York Times writer, Ronald Lauder, president of the World Jewish Congress, said in Europe and the United States there have been demonstrations to protest the tragic deaths of Palestinian Arabs who were used as human shields by Hamas. But the barbaric slaughter of thousands upon thousands of Christians in Africa has been met with relative indifference. The first American political group to take such a stand was the African Jewish Alliance, the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and the Stand With Us All Jewish Organizations. A book by Wiesenthal Center Rabbi Abraham Cooper is titled, The Next Jihad, stop the Christian genocide in Africa. A rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, pleading the cause of Christians when nobody else will? The rabbi says, who talks about the atrocities in Africa in universities? Who talks about it in European Parliament? Not yet. They've not yet appointed a European coordinator to combat Christian phobia. Videos of indescribable horror in which human beings are burned alive in the middle of the street without anyone intervening to help them. Meanwhile, Europe lights up its cities with crescents for Ramadan. Gripping. Voices calling out against the genocide of Christians are more Jewish than Christian. Wow. Maybe they understand. Maybe they really do understand because they have lived through anti-Semitism for 3,000 years. Maybe they do have a deeper understanding. But how is it that Christians, supposedly so concerned about mercy and love, don't seem to get it? And why is it that pastors and parachurch leaders and parents, Christian parents and so on, don't seem to show much interest in preparing their own families for these kinds of times that are assaulting the world? It's amazing. Don't you think so? Doesn't it seem very strange to you? Are we that callous? Do we think we're that exceptionalist that we don't think that this kind of thing is happening and can be happening here? It's happening all over Africa now. It's happening all over India. It's happening in Pakistan. It's happening down in New Zealand. It's happening in Australia. It's happening throughout Europe. It's happening in Russia. It's happening in China. So it's happening in Canada. So why not here? Well, it already is. We're just seeing the earliest vestiges of it in terms of lawfare taking place in the courts, depriving people of their livelihoods, putting them in jail, charging them with monstrous fines for so-called violation of zoning ordinances and so on. It all comes in the name of the law. But is it lawful? No. It's anti-constitutional, it's anti-biblical, and it's very, very dangerous. That's why I want to urge you to get a copy of the book, When Persecution Comes. Preparing our hearts for perilous times. $23 is going to put this $25 book in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. That's P.O. Box 70879. Richmond, Virginia, 23255. If you're writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. The first section of the book is called The Promise of Perilous Times. The premise of persecution, the promise of persecution, the presentation of persecution, portraits of persecution, and the patterns of American persecution. It's all set forth there in the first 60 or 65 pages of the book. That having been said, everything else in the book is about how to prepare. It's about what to do. For instance, the second part of the book is called Prescription for Perilous Times. Chapter 6 is called A Prescription for Victory. Chapter 7 is called Prevail or Fail. In other words, there are no options. We either prepare or we're unprepared and we'll fail. If your children are not prepared, they will fail. If you're not prepared as mom and dad, likelihood your children will fail, and so will you. You'll capitulate. What happens when that infamous mark of the beast shows up? You think it couldn't show up in your lifetime? Don't kid yourself. Oh, you think you've convinced yourself that it has no relevance to you because you're out of here? If that were true, then why does the Bible warn Christians to be prepared for it, to identify who he is, this Antichrist? We're fooling ourselves. We're living in a fool's paradise, friends. And we've actually been led almost to the slaughter, in a sense, by many leaders who want so badly to sell people and convince them that everything's wonderful, everything's cool, you don't have to be prepared, we're different than the whole rest of the world and all of human history, we don't even have to be worried about the warnings that Jesus and his apostles gave, even though they were all given to professing believers, we don't have to worry about that because we're Americans. Does that not sound foolish to you? If you don't think it's foolish now, you will ultimately find out when you realize that you weren't prepared. And you didn't prepare your kids. You didn't do your parental responsibility to prepare your kids. That's why in the heart of the book, part five is called Parenting in Perilous Times. The whole section, three chapters, the heart of the book, Parenting in Perilous Times. We must, as parents and grandparents, watch and be ready, lest the cataclysm of corrupt faith take us and our children unawares, and the time is drawing near. The deception of the imposter will be so compelling to the entire world as to draw the unsuspecting, the ignorant, the fleshly motivated, the easily spiritually seduced, which is the condition of the vast number of professing Christians in this country today, into a false global kingdom of promised peace and prosperity, signaled by a counterfeit shalom or peace movement. The stage has already been set. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, Jesus said, but he that shall endure or be faithful to the end shall be saved. So what then, given our parental preparation, will be the likely destiny of our kids as the deceiver rages against all righteousness? Well, God is trusting us to make this our preeminent passion. As the dark clouds of end time deception envelop not only the nations, but also the professing church. So, just some subtle hints, maybe not so subtle. The book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, $23 will put the $25 book in your hands on our website, saveus.org. We're not here to sell books. We're here to communicate a message. We're not here to sell books. If we were here to sell books, these kind of books would not have been written. And they certainly wouldn't have been written the way they are, because they're not calculated to sell books. They're calculated to communicate a very important message for our time. And that is not calculated to sell mega books. It's only open to those whose hearts are open. Only open to those whose hearts are open. Is your heart open? Mom, dad, grandparents, pastor, church board member, you know, we're the ones that have to listen to the call and be prepared. $23, we'll put it in your hands. It's on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255, writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. More than 60 persecuted Christians arrested in Bangkok, Thailand. Why? Well, they fled Vietnam because they faced persecution in Vietnam. The mountain Christians, mountain yard Christians, 68 of them, including men, women, and children, were apprehended on Sunday during a memorial gathering near the Thai capital that involved prayer and worship. and they were put in jail. Many will remain for months or years.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
We were talking about those that were fleeing Vietnam, the Mountain Christians in Vietnam. They live there because communism dominates Vietnam. After we left, indeed, communism has dominated Vietnam. But there's a group up there in the mountains, the Montagnard Christians, who are persecuted and have been persecuted for very many years. About 4,000 Vietnamese refugees are in Thailand, most of them having fled Vietnam because of persecution and harassment for their Christian faith. And it's hard for them even to find solace there in Thailand because the laws there in Thailand make it very difficult. So where do they go? Where do they run? You could almost do a program titled No Place to Run. Ultimately, that's the way it's going to be in our world. No place to run. The Christian Post contained this headline: Christian couple sentenced to 5 years in prison over alleged attempted conversions. This couple in the Uttar Pradesh, northern state of India, which, by the way, is extreme Hindu, were sentenced to 5 years in prison for alleged attempted conversion. They maintained that the evidence presented in the court did not substantiate the charges of conversion. So last month, after 8 months in jail, the High Court granted them bail. Bail. In other words, they're going to be back in court for the same charge. In another Indian state, 50 Christians were attacked during a Sunday service in western India when a group of about 200 people stormed a church building. Attendees sustained injuries after being struck with iron rods, and the assailants vandalized the property before police arrived. The pastor of the church said a new member was somebody who had come in to, whether he was a member or not, had attended the service that day and was seen sending messages minutes before the mob entered the church, at which point he ran out of the building. In other words, he was a spy. He was there, a plant, to bring persecution upon that church. Police questioned the injured Christians afterward and accused them of forced conversions. The pastor's children were cautioned that they should not turn out like their father as a Christian. Local authorities then escorted the pastor and his wife and a few other Christians to the police station where the mob's accusations of forced conversion were examined. The pastor and his companions were not charged since evidence of such activity was not provided. So here, what's behind this? Well, the attack occurred after the Rajasthan Prohibition of Unlawful Conversion of Religion Bill 2025, an anti-conversion measure, was presented before the state's legislative assembly. Any conversion determined to be forced would be treated as a non-bailable offense, potentially resulting in a significant fine and up to 10 years in prison. And the proposed legislation would shift the burden of proof onto the accused. In other words, you'd have to prove that you did not do this. They don't have to prove that you did. You have to prove that you did not engage in conversion. Last December, over 400 individual Christians and 30 church groups, including several Baptist conventions, councils, and associations, sent a letter to the Indian President Murmu and the Prime Minister Modi. The letter asked for intervention against violent mobs that have targeted Christians and other religious minorities. But they do nothing. Nothing. Because Mr. Modi has declared, upon his taking over power, declared that India will be an exclusively Hindu nation. In Pakistan, a Muslim man kidnapped and forcibly converted a Christian girl, 15 years of age, who later escaped, and then, a few years later, abducted her again at gunpoint. She was coerced into a false marriage. How would you feel if your daughter was coerced into a false marriage under pretense, you see? The man, in his mid to late 20s, forcibly converted Muskan, the daughter, to Islam and forged a marriage certificate as legal cover for his crime. She escaped on December 15 and reunited with her family. A Christian attorney helped the family flee from their hometown in Karachi, where Muskan was kept in a safe house to protect her from her captor. But unfortunately, her father took the family to an outlying area for a funeral, and the man found her there and recaptured her, kidnapped her again. A Christian couple in India, convicted of forcible conversion despite lack of evidence, was sentenced to 5 years. In fact, they weren't even pastors. They were actually standing in the gap for a pastor who was not able to adequately disciple his congregation. So they came in just to teach on their own. They were supported only by $115 a month. That's all. In other words, they're poverty stricken. But they were charged with enticing members of the Dalit community to convert to Christianity over a period of 3 months. And so the group demanded immediate police action against them. He denied the allegations. No clear evidence of forced conversion was found, yet they languished in jail for 8 months. The couple discovered that the 20 to 25 members of the congregation that they came in to try to serve, because the pastor itself was not sufficient to cover all of the various churches, they discovered that 20 to 25 members of this congregation belonged to a sector of the society that survived by stealing and robbing. And they hadn't mended their ways. So the man says, we began teaching them the basic truth from the Bible about living transformed lives, refuting the allegations of carrying out mass conversion. He said, these people are not my congregation. They were already attending church. We did not preach to a single person, nor had a single person been added to the already established church. We're just doing a job of repairing and mending those who were given to us. But this is what they have to deal with. We should be very grateful that our current president has assigned a task force to root out anti-Christian bias in our government. Obama orchestrated war to try to force Catholic nuns to pay for abortions. Then there were Biden's orders that churches be shut down for COVID while bars and strip clubs were open. Then there was Obama's blast at voters who cling to their Bibles. Then there was Biden's open defiance of his own claimed Catholic beliefs in support for unlimited abortions. So Biden has dispatched federal investigators to monitor religious parents at school boards. And Obama's IRS openly attacked Christians for their beliefs. And you think we didn't have persecution in America? It was the weaponization of the law. That was the form of religious persecution up till now in America. But now there's a new task force. Today, Mr. Trump said when he signed an executive order to make our attorney general a great person, Pam Bondi, the head of a task force, brand new to eradicate anti-Christian bias. He made the comments at the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington. Well, that's a good thing. He said, our goal is to bring our country back together as one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. We'll see how all of that works out. But in the meantime, anti-Semitism explodes, persecution is exploding on its heels, and the Christian Post contains this headline, something demonic in that. The real-life evil driving slaughter, horror of global persecution. So, again, some might say, well, what can I do? Well, you can't do anything about the persecution per se. You can pray. You can help to stand with those who are persecuted. But on the other hand, what you can do is prepare those in your sphere of influence to be able to stand. That's what you can do. Dear parents, prepare or despair. That's chapter 13 of my book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Our Hearts for Perilous Times. Parenting to prepare for coming, yes, accelerated persecution, is both a calling and a profound challenge. Many parents and grandparents throughout history have been confronted with this challenge, primarily from known tyrannical governments. But now the challenge is now facing Western Christian families, especially Americans. Because we have lived for so long under unprecedented freedoms and constitutional protections, we just don't quite consider how all of this could happen. So now is the time to prepare. Now is the time. Welcome to the late, great Christian West. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they loved one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
As the culture in our country is continuing to embrace secularism as its, well, its purpose, its goal, the purpose of the country, and so on, secular. What's happening then is the inevitable collapse of the culture, ultimately defying the word and the spirit of Christ. So any family that remains diligently faithful to living a biblically righteous life will eventually become the object of scorn and rejection. And that culminates in outward persecution. So whether or not we choose to admit it, this progressive pattern has now overtaken us, is going to determine whether we respond to the necessity of preparing our families for times of persecution that are coming in rapidly, like a flood. So to delay is to commit ultimate despair. It really is. If you had the opportunity, if you knew a flood was coming, and you just chose to ignore it, you chose to ignore doing anything about it, would you be not deemed to be culpable for failure to protect your family? You know, I'm thinking of what happened. There was a famous flood called the Johnstown Flood in America. There in Pennsylvania, Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Go back in the 1800s. It was one of the most horrific natural disasters in American history. In fact, in my book, Renewing the Soul of America, I have an entire chapter dealing with the Johnstown Flood as a parable warning our country. You see, they had notice after notice after notice after notice of the danger that lay ahead for the city and town of Johnstown. The great leaders and wealthy of America had set up summer homes at the head of the river, and everything, they thought it was just the greatest place to get away from the hustle and bustle of New York, but they ignored the dam. They just decided to ignore the dam. They didn't repair it. They didn't bring it up to snuff and so on. But one day, the floods kept coming down. And the rain came down and the floods came up. And the rain came down and the floods came up. And the rain came down and the floods came up. And all of a sudden, the dam was full and broke. And the rest was history. Hundreds lost their lives, maybe thousands. It was a horror like people had never witnessed. And it's all because they refused to prepare. They could have spared the whole thing, but they refused to prepare. It'll never happen here, they thought. Well, that's what they thought about the Titanic, too. So, look, the message of the story is there's a moment in time when people can take advantage of the opportunity to prepare for dangerous circumstances. And the Bible tells us that this is going to happen. So we don't have to go on some supposition. Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Why do you think you should be different than your Lord? Do you think he didn't include America? Do you think he excluded America as exceptional from all other nations of the world, that it would never happen here, even though men's hearts have abandoned God like the plague here in this country? The fear of the Lord has been lost, abandoned, in our churches, and we still think it would never happen here. You see how easy it is for us to be deceived? And when we're deceived, we become destroyed. And that's why I believe that when God inspired me to write this book, when persecution comes, it was an act of divine mercy. It was like an epistle to professing Christians primarily in the Western world, in America, but then
by implication around the world. When persecution comes, preparing hearts for perilous times. It doesn't say if persecution comes, it's when persecution comes. And we have a moment of opportunity now. We have a window. So we've been reminded to fail to prepare is to prepare to fail. And nobody would want to publicly admit our intent to prepare to fail, would we? But on the other hand, if we're honest, most actually prepare to fail precisely because they don't consciously and intentionally prepare to face the life and faith-assaulting challenges that are looming ahead. Yet our kids, our grandchildren, depend upon our diligence and faithful attention to their spiritual welfare. So when we fail in this trust that God has given to us, we're actually betraying our kids' trust and God's trust. And the inevitable consequences aren't pretty. Might be even devastating. So, look, here you say, what can we do? I'm going to give you some hints here. Prepare with purpose. In order to prepare your family for persecution, you have to have sincere and serious conviction of heart that some level of persecution is both promised and forewarned by Jesus himself. He said, all these things are going to happen unto you for my name's sake. Not because you believe in God, but because you believe in Jesus. People are all confused. They think almost everybody believes in God, so that's not going to happen. No, the problem is not believing in God. Even the devil believes in God. The problem is your belief in Jesus. Peter said, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened, but rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. So your personal conviction as a mom, as a dad, a grandparent, will quickly become apparent to your kids. And they're going to be much more likely to take seriously that which mom and dad take seriously, right? Okay. Next, we have to promote truth. This true spiritual warfare we face is a war against truth itself. Same battle that Adam and Eve faced in the garden. And the driving tendency of our times is to mix God's truth with countermanding so-called truths of godless culture. So we end up with compromise, and your kids are compromising. You see that. Your kids are facing the daily pressure like you are, but in a different way. They're being completely bombasted by friends, teachers, television, social media, and pastors and grandparents are not immune. So we want to promote truth, real truth. Then we want to promote faithfulness. It's one thing to claim faith in Christ. It's another thing, much different, to be faithful to Christ. You know, words are cheap. What impresses God is not our alleged faith in Christ, but rather our genuinely living for Christ and obedience to Christ. That's what we need to be communicating to our kids. There's a reason why Jesus said the love of many shall wax cold due to the rise of iniquity in our time. Many are going to be offended, he said, shall betray one another, shall hate one another. Wow. Paul warned about a great falling away. Next, we have to promote perseverance. In other words, it's not just enough to believe something. It's another thing to press on with what we say we believe. We must persevere. Interestingly, if you look up the word perseverance in the Oxford American Dictionary, it follows the words perplexity and persecution. Isn't that interesting? So we need perseverance in the face of perplexity and persecution. Also, we need to promote courage. Our children have to be trained both by precept and example to live courageously. Not for their own glory, but for God's glory. You know, like many of the figures in the Old Testament. In fact, in the chapter, Dear Parents, Prepare or Despair, there are two entire pages that set forth how you can start preparing your kids for courage in the face of confrontation and persecution. With the names of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Talk about a place to start. It's all right there. Be strong and courageous. Our kids need to understand this. Then we need to promote godly fear. A child who does not learn the fear of the Lord is quickly going to learn to fear man. And when he fears man, he will succumb to persecution. He'll succumb to the mark of the beast. He will abandon his faith. It's just as simple as that. So we want to promote godly fear. We need to promote hope. I'm going through some of the headlines here of this just one chapter to help parents promote hope. You see, our children are becoming desperate for real hope. There's a reason why anxiety is mounting throughout the world. Suicides are burgeoning, even especially among teens. It's largely because of increasing perceived hopelessness. And as Christian parents, what must we do? Well, what we must do quickly. We can't wait around. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day we need to begin to do these things with diligence. And the whole Word of God is a message of ultimate hope. But the hope is based on all of the foundations that we've just laid out here. So as parents and grandparents, we've never faced a greater challenge or calling in this country. Preparing our families for these perilous times requires great courage, deep conviction, coupled with a level of commitment that has become very scarce among Western and American Christians. So, you could say, this is our penultimate moment as parents that's going to command our utmost passion for the eternal destiny of those placed by our Creator in our charge is at ultimate risk. It's not a time calling to be satisfied with cheap spiritual mantras, God bless yous, ritualistic salvation prayers, frolicking youth programs, and so on. No, we need to gird up the loins of our mind and get serious. This kind of parenting is a non-delegable duty. We can't delegate it to somebody. Can't delegate it to a pastor. Can't delegate it to anybody else. Can you imagine what is going to happen when many parents, professing Christian parents, stand before God on Judgment Day? And he said, what did you do with your kids? Why didn't you prepare them? You see what they did? They fell away. You see what they did? They received the mark of the beast. You see, they weren't able to stand in the evil day. What are you going to say? Oh, well, whatever. It's a book of help and mercy. When persecution comes, preparing hearts for perilous times. $23 on our website, saveus.org. Write to us, Save America Ministries, at $6 for postage and handling. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. It's not a game. This is the real deal. The real deal, friends. The real deal.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.